All right, chapter 8. Chapter 8. And here, some effective prescriptions. So here in chapter 8, the author, he states that he will deliver two prescriptions by the Holy Ghost that will help you sail through safely in this end time. These descriptions are, number one is the power of your will, and secondly, take an oath for purity. So under the power of your will, one of the ways of the end time is the willingness of the people. Psalms 110:3 says, "Thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power." Matthew 10:17-23 gives us an account of the rich young ruler's encounter with Jesus. It says, "And when he had gone forth into the way, there came one running and kneeled to him and asked him, 'Good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life?' And Jesus said unto him, 'Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. Thou knowest the commandments: do not commit adultery, do not kill, do not steal, do not bear false witness, defraud not, honor thy mother and father.' And he answered and said unto him, 'Master, all these things have I observed from my youth.' And Jesus, beholding him, loved him and said unto him, 'One thing that thou likest, go thy way and sell whatsoever thou hast and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven. And come, take up thy cross and follow me.' And he was sad at that saying and went away grieved, for he had great possession. Jesus looked around about and said unto his disciples, 'How hard shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of God?'" So when Jesus made reference to the commandments, the rich young ruler in the 20th verse, he said, "All these things have I observed from my youth." By what means was he able to observe the commandments? It was by the means of his will. Now, your will is a force of deliverance, a force of liberty. This man, with his inferior life, as compared to our superior eternal life, was able to handle stealing, fraud, falsehood, etc. And Jesus loved him. The Bible says he loved him, right? Yes, so his will was responsible for the level of his sanctity. The will is a potent, heaven-invested force inside every mortal being. It is a God-given force for man's liberty. It is able to determine your habits. What you want is a desire. What you will is a decision that leads to subsequent action based on your conviction in what you believe. One of the things, we can will to believe, and we can will not to believe. You understand what I'm saying? Because it's a choice. We can choose to believe. We can choose not to believe. So now the will is very important that we understand it. Your desire may be dislodged, but your decision is stronger than your desire. The young ruler came looking for eternal life, but even before he found it, his will had kept him in charge. Now, when you think about it, he didn't have eternal life, but as it related to the commandments, he said, "You know, I've observed these things for my youth." So that was something that was working in him that caused him to be able to walk in a certain way and not violate the commandments of God. Now, the Bible clearly said that he didn't have eternal life. So if he didn't have eternal life, how in the world could he have been, not stealing and not committing adultery, not committing fraud, and that's those sort of things, stuff, because God put a will in every one of us. You understand? He put a will in every one of us, even though you can know the word of God and you can still choose to do the wrong thing. Because you have a will. All right. So said that in Daniel 1:8, Daniel purposed in his heart and decided inside himself not to defile himself. Not even the den of lions could cause that decision to waver. He was ready to be held in captivity for life rather than defile himself. Now, I think it was John 5:30 that the apostle was reading just a while ago on the screen, and it talked about the will, talked about, you know, we can will to do something, we can have desire, but our will should always line up with the will of God. Amen. See, because when Jesus was, Jesus said, let this cup pass from me, nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. So, now let me see if I can't get you to understand how our will works. Now, our will can really train your will, because your will is the way that God designed us, is to always, whenever you there's pleasure, your will always move towards pleasure. And on the other hand, your will always move away from pain. It moves toward pleasure. It moves away from pain. All right. So now, you know, the Bible talks about how you have to choose, you know, according to Deuteronomy 30:19. Talks about, you know, I lay before you this day life and death and blessing and cursing. Choose life. And so now I have to, there are certain things now, you know, the Bible talks about, choose life. Now, choosing life may not be the easiest thing in the world because now, just think about this. All right. Nobody would choose death, right?
That's right.
Okay. But we would choose life, right? Okay. But suppose the enemy has death disguised as life. And because the way that we've been created to move toward pleasure, he connects pleasure with it. Okay, watch this. All right. Let's just say with adultery. How many of you know the Bible says sin is pleasurable for a season?
Yes, sir.
So if you're not careful, your will pull you toward that pleasure, because the will is designed to go toward pleasure, go away from pain. Now, see, now if the pleasure is elevated above the pain, see, because what's the pain of it gonna be when you're caught? But okay, let me see if I can't. Turn to Hebrews 12. Hebrews the 12th chapter. Okay, verse 2, it says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. All right, now, think about Jesus had, the cross was before him, all right? So now, naturally, the will is going to go away from pain. He know that the crucifixion was pain. But look what it says, though. It says, who for the joy that was set before him. Now, the joy wasn't the cross. That was the pain. But the joy would come from once he finished what God had called him in the earth to do, then that's when the pleasure of seeing all of mankind would have the opportunity to receive that redemptive right through accepting the Lord Jesus Christ. All right, you see, all right. Look what it says now. It says, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and they go to reward, and they sit down at the right hand of the Father. So Jesus said, not my will, but your will be done, because my will is, I don't want to go to this cross. But for the will of the Father, because there's going to be a harvest of souls once I finish the work that I came here to do.
Yes, sir.
So that's the joy of it.
Yeah.
Are you with me?
Yes, sir.
So just check it out in your own life. Check it out in your own life. You'll see yourself, your will, if that's why you have to be careful of the enemy elevating pleasure and making pain look like it's, you know, or consequences look small.
Yeah,
that's right. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. All right. Let's just say a person that's on drugs. Person on drugs, the reason why, now he know he's hurting his family. He knows that his finances in his home has been depleted. He know all these things are happening. But for that joy of that, or the satisfaction of that moment, that's what that's what's moving him in that direction. You know, you wonder, what make a person? They destroying themselves. I could never do that. You understand? You can say that, but you don't know, because that person's will is being drawn by the pleasure of the moment.
Yes, sir.
And so the pleasure is elevated above the consequences and that sort of thing. You with me?
Yes.
So what am I saying? What I'm saying is that our will can really be trained. We have to train our will according to the word of God. All right, the Bible says here in Genesis 39, Joseph said, how can I do this thing and sin against God? Now, Joseph was in a situation where Potiphar's wife kept coming at him. I mean, if you really check it out closely, you'll find out that she was coming at him on a regular basis. Regular basis. But watch this. Joseph, when you really understand your purpose and why you called, you will not allow Satan to make something look like it's pleasurable to you to cause your will to be drawn toward that way. See, because how many of you know you can have a desire, but really the desire, you still got a choice after you have a desire.
Yes, sir.
Because you don't have to be moved by what you're desiring because you'll know that, okay, this desire that I have, it may cause consequences in the end. So I'm making a choice, amen, to do the right thing.
Yes, that's right.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So, Joseph didn't let that. Joseph said, look, how I'm going to do this thing? And Joseph's loyalty would not let him fall into that trap. Are y'all with me here?
Yes, sir.
So, your desire is your wish. Your decision is your choice. Your will is your choice, because your will is your decision. In Deuteronomy 30 says, I lay before you life and death. All right, life and death. Then he said, you know, I don't want you to be confused about which one to choose. Choose life. You don't have to gamble. So anybody in their right mind, they're going to always move away from death and toward life.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
But when the enemy disguises it and show you the pleasures of it, See, I mean, again, I'm repeating myself. The Bible says Moses enjoyed Moses would not enjoy the sin for a season. He was, he wouldn't even be called the he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Say no, I got to get with my people. You know, I'm called to be a deliverer. I can't allow them, you know, putting me up and making me, you know, some kind of king to abort my destiny. This is my God-given destiny. His God-given destiny was to deliver the people. So that's why you got to be careful. You got to be careful. The apostle said something while he was teaching. He was talking about how he had these opportunities. And if you're not careful, the opportunities, because you think about, you know, the favor that you're going to receive, the name that you're going to have from these opportunities. But when God is saying that, no, I want you here, I may not understand everything that God's saying. I don't even understand. Lord, you got me on the big stage now. But the Lord said, no, I want you off the big stage because I've got some greater things I want to do for you. Sometimes men will try to get credit for where God has brought you. See, and I believe God didn't want the apostle to be in a position where men was going to try to take the credit for where God had brought him.
Amen, amen.
Hallelujah. Okay, already God has put him out here, you know, like a wilderness out here in Darrow. You know, you understand what I'm saying? When I said wilderness out here in the middle of nowhere. I remember I used to go to school down the street. All this wasn't nothing but woods. You know what I'm saying? And so I didn't even travel this way to go back home. And the interstate was right there. I go all the way down that back road back down through there. Wow. You understand what I'm saying? Because back down through that road, it did have a little more scenery than coming this way. So God can take your uniqueness and really do a working. That's why we have to be careful to be hearing what God is saying and set our will to obey God. It's not the easiest thing to do, because if it was easy, everybody would be doing it. But you have to set your will to obey God. And so when opportunities would look like they were the right things, but God was speaking. And so he had to set his will that, okay, all right, praise the Lord. All of this, you know, like he said, there's many preachers would die to preach in Madison Square Garden. They die for that opportunity. But for a man to walk off, boy, you know that's got to be the will of God.
Yes, sir.
I'm telling you, saints of God. So that's why I'm so honored to even sit under this apostle.
Yes, sir.
Are y'all with me here?
Yes, sir.
Because I want you to think about the men in our day that would walk away when God said to walk away. Don't mean that nothing wrong with the people. Nothing wrong with them. But God got to make sure that I'm your source and not people.
Yes, sir.
God said, because where I'm going to take you to, people are not going to be able to get you here.
Right.
Glory to God. Amen. And so as students, we got to realize that our will really has to be set to obey God.
Right.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So your will is what initiates his will. Draw near to God, he'll draw near to you. The old people used to say like this, you take one step, he'll take two. Praise God. So it is your will that determines his will. Are you going to do what God said? God said, okay, God said, that's something that I want to do through you. All right, sometimes that's going to mean that means that you're going to have to walk away from some people. And many times it's not comfortable. So watch this. Because it does not look comfortable doing it, your will not want to go in that direction. See, your will will always want to take you into a path of least resistance. That which looks like it's pleasurable, that which looks like, you know, it's easy, is always going to try to take you that way. So you have to train it by the word of God, amen, because you got to see, okay, I may have to go through some short-term discomforts in order to get to my long-term dreams fulfillment that God has. Y'all with me here? See, but your will not want to go in that direction. Hallelujah. So that just kind of insight on just watch your own life now. Watch your own life. Watch how your will try to take you in a direction that's pleasurable instead of one that's painful. See, it may look like pain,
yes,
but the results on the other side are gonna be glorious. So that's why the apostle talked about there's a process. Paul said it like this. Paul said, I press toward the mark. I press because in pressing, there's going to be some resistance. There's going to be some satanic resistance. But I got to press because my will don't want to go that way. I don't want to go through nothing. Most Christians don't want to go through anything. Hallelujah. We want to travel the road of least resistance. When God, see, a lot of times when we go through the process, you know, God's shaping our character. He's shaping, you know, getting us to the point to where, you know, we're not crybabies. We're crying about every little thing and that sort of thing. And, you know, but your skin becomes tough. And you get to the point to where if everybody walk off from you, you still got confidence. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Because I'm going to tell you something. In this walk with God, there's going to be time when folk going to walk away from you. And if you're not careful, you'll spend so much time, you know, trying to figure out why, what did I do so bad? What? No, you didn't do anything. God said, because where I'm taking you to, they're not going to be able to go. They may even be holding you back from getting where I'm trying to take you to. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. So now, it is your will that determines. It is your will that determines your way. Until you will, you don't win. Hallelujah. Your will is your determination and the expression of your decision. And that determines your destination. It is important for you to know that you have a will and that your will is strong enough to destroy every attack that is arrayed against your destiny. Hallelujah. See, watch this. Once you understand that the enemy is really trying to destroy what God is trying to do in you and through you, once you understand that, then, see, you have to say, well, okay, all right. I know that probably said, I know that, you know, going through this cross and despising the shame and all this kind of thing and stuff is not, doesn't feel good. But all the joy that is after, when all this takes place, the people that's going to get set free.
Yeah.
That's the joy of it. Hallelujah. Your ministry, your ministry in the people, you know, you going through the process, but it's going to be well worth it because, amen, I'd rather stand up with the anointing than to have a dry letter that ain't nobody getting set free with. Are you with me? So there's a process that you have to, you know, the apostle always talk about. The anointing, there's a price that's got to be paid for the anointing. Yes, to walk in the anointing. Okay, all right, watch this. I've been following the apostle for 17 years. Now watch this, I'm going to help you. Some people think that they can start following and, you know, they can be around, you know, and he can pass by them, you know, they can put their hand on, rub on him and stuff, and the anointing just jump on them, and they think that what it has taken him 40 years to be able to do is going to happen to them. It ain't going to happen. It's not going to happen. See, because one thing that God has to know that we're going to be faithful in following who he's told us. See, because what you're not willing to give out, you'll never be able to receive.
That's right.
So if I'm not willing to be faithful in another, that which is another man, then guess what? I'm not going to be able to receive people that's going to be faithful, amen, in my ministry when it's time for me to do what I need to do. Now, I'm going to say something. Hallelujah. There's many ministers that are shipwrecking because they want success so fast.
Yes, sir.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Do you know there are people calling me, emailing me from different countries. And they're saying to me that God said that I'm supposed to be their spiritual father. Well, the first thing that I tell them that there is no need of trying to come. What I'm receiving is coming from my apostle. So you can go, you can follow him and get pure oil from the can. See, watch this. Sometimes, once it passed through other vessels, you know, it's not as pure as it was.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
But if you can get it from the can, you understand what I'm saying? It's gonna be pure.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
So, see, until he says to me, the apostle.
Yes,
somebody say, well, the Lord has told me. Well, if you got a covering, your covering ought to be able to confirm what the Lord has told you.
Yes, sir.
And you shouldn't have to go to him asking them. Come on. You better hear what I'm saying. So until he says, you know, he says it's time for you to follow. Praise God. Hallelujah. I'm enjoying following and doing what I'm doing. I don't have time to be talking about no sons and stuff. You understand what I'm saying? Praise God. I got enough with a ministry that I have to, you know. But folk all listen to me. Do you know what the folk calling me? The folk calling me because they know I'm connected to apostle.
That's it. That's it.
And they really try to come through the back door.
That's right.
But they're not going to use me to come through.
Right.
Yeah, they want to come through the back door. That's what they want.
Yeah, yeah.
You understand what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
So if they want to follow, they want that anointed, they're going to have to come through the front door. Come,
right.
Look, I tell them about LTMA. Well, look, one guy told me, he said, I've connected with apostle and he said he's one of the partners. He said, so I'm sending something every month. So, you know, praise the Lord. Now, I don't want you playing with me. So I just say, do y'all have a name of this certain person that's supporting the ministry? No, we don't have a name that. So, okay, praise the Lord. Now, you trying to. Hallelujah. Let me get back on this. Praise the Lord. But I'm saying sometimes we can will to do stuff that ain't even God's will.
That's right. Amen. Amen.
You know, what is it? This guy emailed me telling me that the Lord had his church, he named his church the same thing my church is named. And but we need to learn from you. So God told me, and then want to send me a ticket to get to Kenya. Yeah, want to send me a two-way ticket to Kenya. Oh, not me. Praise the Lord. And then say we're gonna send you an honorarium before time. See, you got to be careful. Folk, amen. Folk try to put a little money in front of you, think that's going. No. I'm not going to. The apostle ain't send me no Kenya. See, most men would say, and see, this is it's the same anointing that's on the apostle, because the apostle, anytime he can walk for major ministries, you understand what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
Following God.
Yes, sir.
So, if the apostle hadn't said nothing, ain't no way in the world I'm moving.
That's right.
Go down there in Kenya and run into some cannibals or something. You know what I'm saying? The Lord ain't sent me down there. I just done went down there and stuff. And then I be want to come back across here talking about I'm an apostle. Praise the Lord. You got to be careful. You got to be real careful. The enemy, he'll try to make you think that you in the will of God and you don't need nobody to tell you. You don't need nobody. No, God's trying to restore us back to that. God's trying to restore us back to that Elijah relationship. Paul and Timothy. God trying to get us back there, because men now, they just want to be renegades. And being a renegade is not going to accomplish the will of God. You may be doing a little something, but you ain't going to be doing what God really wants you to do. Hallelujah. So it's important for you to know that you have a will, and that your will is strong enough to destroy every attack that is arrayed against your destiny. It's time to engage your will. Your will determines your tomorrow. Everything you want is a mere desire, but everything you will becomes a decision and compels our determination. God is waiting on you to see which way you're going. Your will is your greatest resistance in the contest with sin. Praise God. Your will, when it comes down, and I don't, see, watch this. I don't believe that, people who really following God, they're not looking for an opportunity to sin. I don't believe they are. But how many of you know the enemy can, he can begin to start working some desires in you, some thoughts, some suggestions. And then he presents something, and if you're not careful, your will not trained, then your will will be moving you toward that pleasure, because you're thinking in your mind that this is pleasurable. But the consequences, the enemy is minimizing the consequences, make the consequences look small. So what you got to do is you got to see the consequences great, and see. You, in other words, you got to see the plane. That pain has to becomes larger than what the pleasure looks like. Y'all with me?
Yes, sir.
Because if you do that, then your will gonna move you away from it.
Yes.
It gonna send you in the opposite direction. Amen. If you will, I will. That is what Jesus is saying. It's time to say, I will for purity. I will for holiness. I will for righteousness. I will against sin. I will against immorality. I will against strife. I will against distraction. I will against stealing. I will against lying. I will, because even the pleasure, each one of these things that's sin, the immorality, the strife, the distractions, stealing and lying, all those have an element of pleasure in it. But you got to always elevate that pain so that your will can recognize the consequences of this is much greater. You understand? You working there at a department store, and somebody else been getting away with ringing up stuff, not paying the price for it, and that sort of thing and stuff. And so, you see them coming to church. You see them coming to work. They're all dressed up all the time. You know what I'm saying? And they say, well, this is what I do. These people got so much money anyway, so we just change the prices on the stuff Well, that may look like pleasure, but then you think about, you got to think about jail. Jail will cause your will to move away. Try it. You're going to see, you're going to see your will. You're going to see your will getting out of the way of that. Because the consequence, you understand what I'm saying? But if you let the enemy minimize the consequences, make you feel like, well, they ain't going to do nothing but just fire you, lay you off. No. It's bigger than that.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. So, The will is a potent force. When engaged in the covenant, you become unstoppable. When your will line up with the will of God, with the covenant, there's nothing that can stop you. Nothing. If the will of a man is stronger than sin, how much more the will of God, who said, "Be ye holy, for I'm holy." You have all it takes to be holy if you want to be. Amen, amen. The moment your choice is made, Satan is finished. Hallelujah. The second prescription, take an oath for purity. An oath is a solemn promise in the name of God that a person will speak only the truth. Satan has vowed to cast you down. You too must vow to destroy him and free yourself. For example, Goliath vowed to destroy David, but David vowed to destroy him too. It is time to counter Satan's vow with covenant vows. When you enter into a vow, into an oath with God, it's called a covenant. Every covenant that is ratified by the blood of Jesus is supreme, because that is the blood of the everlasting covenant forever. That blood covers any covenant you make. To maintain purity, sanctity, and holiness forever, you need a vow. What a oath does is to establish your steadfastness to your will. It puts you on your choice and ends all strife. When you come under a covenant oath for purity, your life will become a challenge even to yourself. Praise the Lord. An oath, oath of purity. Now, how many of you know that if you will to keep yourself, God will keep you. But you can will to not be kept, and there ain't nothing God can do about it. Let me see. I got a few more minutes. All right. When I was young, I must have been about 13 years old or something like that. And the Lord spoke to me when I was about 13 years old. And I didn't tell nobody about it till I was 20, because I thought they were going to think I was crazy. I knew it was the Lord talking to me. And God told me, way back then that it was a call in my life. But, I didn't do anything. So I went from that time up until I was about 20 years old, really in the streets and really, doing something and everything. And so the Lord called me, and I got saved in 80. That's when it was, in 1980. I got saved. And so now here I am. I find myself from out of the street into, I'm a church boy now. It just didn't, but it was the calling way, years ago, that I knew that the Lord was dealing with me. Even when I was doing wrong things, I was running with people who were robbing folk and stuff, and we on our way going, and all of a sudden I hear a voice telling me that I'm not called to do this. And so I dash behind the building, I let them keep on going, and I go to the house. But the Lord was dealing with me. All right. So when I got saved, I said, "Man, I don't want to play these church games." Because I came up in church, seeing the church games. And now, I had a wife. I was married. Still married. I was. I'm married. And I had saw all the church games. I hadn't even seen my daddy play games in church. And so I said this to the Lord. I said, Lord, I said, I don't want to play no games with you. I said, I'm not going to be in church running no women and carrying on and doing all kind of underhanded stuff. So I'm going to tell you what I did. I made an oath to God. I said, Lord, look, I want to make this oath to you. I want to. I asked God. I said, Lord, if I step out of line, if I mess up on my wife, take my life. I said, I'm going to walk upright. I am going to do this. So how many of you know there was times when I saw when women was looking at me, you know, and all kind of stuff. But guess what? My will, because I've made an oath to God. I'm not going in this direction. They could look all they want. You understand what I'm saying? They could be blinking their eyes. They could. You understand what I'm saying? I am not going in that direction. I made an oath to God. You understand what I'm saying? And so I was sharing that with a pastor, and he straight up told me. He said, I ain't gonna make that oath. I said, well, one thing about it is that the only way we could be kept is God keeping us anyway. But we got to want to be kept. So an oath or a vow to God, man, it'll put you in a place where the devil will try you, but you just got to know. And I got to go. All right, praise God. All right, we'll pick up where we left next week. How many more classes we got? Two more, three more, two more? Two more then? Two more, okay, all right. All right, praise God.